Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Sports Radio FNZ, 9 o'clockers, welcome to the party. It is time for the final hour. We will get you ready for Hornets and Bulls tonight, a game that even with this depleted roster, we need badly tonight. There's no doubt about it. We're going to talk a little Braves. We're going to talk some baseball with Tom Glavine here in a second. But first, I need to mention it's time right now for us to tell you how you can put yourself in a position to win a pair of tickets to see Genesis. It's the last Domino Tour with Phil Collins. Go to WFNZ.com, go to our contest page at WFNZ.com, enter the keyword drums, that's plural, drums, D-R-U-M-S. It's your shot to win two tickets to the show here in Charlotte, Spectrum Center, on November 20th. Enter the keyword drums on the contest page, WFNZ.com. All right, Phil Collins is obviously an all-time great. So is our next guest, Tom Glavine, and unfortunately, Flounder got to him before us, getting him on the phone lines, and the Mets fan that he is, he said that we should introduce him as Mets legend Tom Glavine. I believe he's just a baseball Hall of Famer, but I'll call him a Braves legend as well, a pitching legend, Tom Glavine, who joins us on the Mac Attack to talk Braves and talk a little bit about the state of baseball right now. Tom, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing
What's
good.
Up, Tom?
We're doing good. What did you think of Max Fried's return last night? And how optimistic should Braves fans be by what they saw from him last night?
Well, I felt a whole lot better about last night than his first few starts of the year. No question about that. So, you know, hopefully whatever issues he was having, whether they be mechanical or confidence or whatever it was, hopefully the break that he had while he was hurt was enough for him to kind of get those things ironed out and get them squared away. I mean, I think that's sometimes when guys spend a little time away from the game, whether it be because of an injury or, you know, in some instances with a hitter where, you know, maybe they don't play for a couple nights to get away. It gives you an opportunity to work on some things, but also, you know, kind of get the mental side back in check. And I think for Max, he probably had an opportunity to do all those things, and he looked really good last night.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer Tom Glavine here on the Mac Attack on a Thursday. Tom, do you think the NL East is going to be sort of this way all year, or do you think a team will eventually separate itself from the pack?
You know, I think it's going to be a little bit of this. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people, myself included, feel like it's, you know, arguably the toughest division in baseball. I mean, you know, you look up and down the division and there's fantastic pitching everywhere. So, you know, some teams with the pitching could certainly get on a run. You know, every other team in the division, potentially you go into a three-game series. If you're lining up against any team's top three, you're going in knowing it's going to be a tough series. So, you know, there's not that one or two teams like we've had in the past, you know, the Marlins last year or 2 years ago, you know, even the Phillies and the Mets to some degree, depending on their health, where you looked at a three-game series and thought, okay, we're going to go in here, we're going to take two out of three, we're going to go about our business. You can't necessarily do that in this division this year. It's tight and there's good pitching, so I think it's going to be tight, but I do think somebody eventually is going to get on a roll. And I think for me, the team that has the most potential to do that is the Braves, simply because I think their rotation is deeper than any other team when it's healthy. Getting Max Fried back was huge last night. You know, Soroka is going to be back somewhere down the road. So I think that gives them an advantage.
Tom, that's what I was going to ask you about. The Braves sit there in the National League right now. I think it's fourth worst ERA as a staff. The bullpen, as I watch these games, the bullpen has me nervous in a lot of these spots. And the starting pitching, albeit because of injuries, has not quite been what we had hoped or expected. I feel like am I wrong to say I believe the bats, you're starting to see them come alive, that's not a worry, but the pitching is a worry? Or would you say that's not the right way to handicap this Braves team?
I think it's absolutely the way to handicap this team. I've said the same thing. So much of baseball is that cliche. It's the bubblegum card, right? It's what you have. There's the stats you have on the back of that bubblegum card are there for a reason. And you figure that sooner or later, guys are going to perform to those stats on the bubblegum card. Now, if you take that analogy and make it a little bit broader, that offense has the bubblegum card stats. I mean, they've done it, right? They've done it for the last couple of years. They're going to hit. The problem with the offense has been, obviously, inconsistency. And to start the year, really, only Ronald was swinging the bat well. And it's not very often that you have seven guys in your lineup struggling. You might have two, you might have three. But for a while there, the Braves had seven or eight guys, which makes it look really ugly. So, offensively, I think they're going to be fine. Where I'm with you, I worry about the rotation. I worry about the bullpen. I think Charlie Morton is going to continue to get better. He's been victimized by, the one big inning every start. Enoa has been fantastic, both pitching and with the bat.
Yeah.
So he's been a really big surprise. You get Max back now. Ian Anderson's been really good. He had a little bit of an off one his last time out. But, I think those guys are going to continue to get better. Where the concern for me lies is the bullpen, particularly the back end. And not because they're not capable of doing it, but it's the portion of the team that I think that has the least track record, right? And that's what you worry about. You don't know exactly what to expect. Like, we can say, based on past performances, the offense is going to hit. We don't have a lot of past performances with the back end of that bullpen to go by. I mean, Will Smith has been great. A.J. Minter's been great. The rest of the guys, kind of here and there. But when you take, that trio of Melanson, Martin, and Green last year was pretty lights out. You've lost two of those guys now. So there's some question marks there. Now, obviously, the Braves felt strongly about Will Smith and A.J. Minter's year, and even Bastic last year, that they felt they could let those guys go. But there's still a little bit of an unproven commodity there. I think they'll be fine, but it's probably the one area that I look at that, I have the most question about.
Yeah. We're talking to the Hall of Famer Tom Glavine here on the Mac Attack. Tom, take us through your perspective as a pitcher on how you feel about the extra inning rule right now where the runner starts on second in the 10th inning.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give it to you as a pitcher and a broadcaster. As a pitcher, if I was the guy going out there, I wouldn't like it. You're out there, you're in trouble right away through no fault of your own. And, it's just a difficult situation to be in. And I can see where, as players, you may not love it. As a broadcaster, I love it. I don't want a 17-inning game. I want that game over, And look, there is some – look, I'm a huge hockey fan, so, watching 3-on-3 overtime and then ultimately a shootout, there's a sense of inevitability, like, okay, this game's going to end soon. And I feel that way now with the extra inning rule.
Yeah.
There are so many times where you would watch a game and nothing's going on, and now you're going to extra innings, and you can just smell 15 or 16 innings because nobody's doing anything. It just has that feel. At least with this, you have the sense that this game's going to end. It's going to end soon. Something's going to happen here, and I kind of like that part.
Yeah. You know, there's urgency, right? And I feel that, too. Like, yeah. Some of these extra-ending games, as a fan, I'll catch the score in the morning when I wake up. With the rule now, it's like, oh, there's a runner in scoring position every half inning. Let me keep tuned in here for another inning.
It does have a college football overtime type feel to it, a little bit of that.
No, yeah. It does. Yeah. And it's been strange to me. You know, I did the game, last homestand. I forget who. Oh, no, it was Toronto. And the Braves lost in extra innings. And it was the first time that I've done it to where they actually only scored one run.
Yeah.
So most of the time it's been a big inning, right? And it's crazy how you have a runner on second base and nobody out in the fourth inning or the fifth inning. It's just kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. Yeah. But all of a sudden you put that runner at second base with nobody out in the tenth, and there's just this sense that, oh, my God, we're in a bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and
no
that,
doubt.
That part of it I love, right? It's like the perception is that, okay, we're in trouble. And that perception often leads to a big inning, which to me is kind of surprising. I don't know why that happens. But, you know, it was a little bit weird the other night against Toronto that it was the first time, like I said, that I've done an extra inning game that only one run scored.
It's true. I don't know. I kind of like it. A lot of fans, purists, old school fans, think it's gimmicky. I personally hope it's here to stay. Tom, hey, we appreciate it, man. You're always kind with your time. We appreciate you coming on. And enjoy the Braves season. We'll be watching. And thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, there you go. That's Tom Glavin, Braves great, Hall of Famer, and you can catch him doing some of the games as an analyst on Valley Sports South. Braves today at 4 o'clock. So we got some golf, obviously, in the Wells Fargo this afternoon, either on the tube or if you're out there. And we also have the Braves 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then, of course, the Hornets tonight. We got not a bad sports day, Bone, for a Thursday in May today.
Absolutely, Mac. Millions have been vaccinated. They are safe, effective, and free. Get the facts you need at mecnc.gov. Also, the segment sponsored by Panera. At Panera, dinner is hot and ready to serve. Bring home Panera's cheesy flatbread, pizzas, toasty sandwiches, or creamy mac and cheese. With delivery or pickup, availability and pricing may vary with Panera. When we come back, we turn our attention to the Hornets in the Gordon Hayward detractors. Why does Gordon get so much heat? We'll try to walk through that. Mac and Bone, Sports Radio, FNZ.
Everybody has their own opinion on this. And to me, you know, I never agree with it. But I think for what, you know, that's it. The revenue and what it brings to the league, the ratings and all that stuff is great. But, you know, that's my opinion on it.
Sports Radio FNZ, Mac and Bone with you. Bismack Biyombo yesterday doing a presser post-practice. Hornets tonight, 7 o'clock against the Bulls. Five-game homestand. It's so crucial for us tonight, obviously. And we do at least get PJ back. Bone and Kyle Bailey got the pregame at 6. All right, so Biz yesterday, and I do want to ultimately get into a conversation about Gordon Hayward and why. I mean, the guy hadn't played in a month, and we bring up his name the other day, and I get like 5 or 6 negative texts about him. We have to have, as a fan base, a Gordon Hayward conversation. Because I don't think he's fully appreciated. I think fans are too hard on him for some reason. But first, real quick on this, on the Biz comments. Biz has gone the way of Cuban, Doncic, and LeBron and says he doesn't like to play in tournaments. And he talked about, like, scenarios where teams that just get hot late in the season. It really sounded like he was talking about Washington. They just get hot late in the season. Other teams have been grinding all year. And they win a game in a play-in because they're the hot team, and they knocked a team that was up there all year out of the play. It really sounded like it was the Washington scenario he was bringing up. Bone, here's the thing about Biz, though. I get LeBron and Doncic and Cuban because those teams would all be in the playoffs without the play-in.
Yeah.
So to them, the play-in and the thought of maybe missing out and the thought of not being able to rest up for the playoffs is an inconvenience and a pain. But, Biz, our stranglehold on that eighth spot is not so strong to where we might not – like, there's still a chance we're – I hope not, but there's still a chance we're using spot 9, right, to get into the playoffs and having to play our way in that way. So, I, Like, I don't know. I did not expect that from a Hornets player taking a shot at a play-in the way LeBron did, you know?
Well, someone tweeted out yesterday, Adam Silver's worst nightmare, another grade of the game, and Biz questioning the play-in. You got Luka, LeBron, and now Biz all questioning the play-in tournament. Here's the thing. With all the injuries this team has had, I would think that the Hornets players and people on the team, with the team, would appreciate the play-in because the hold is tenuous on this. And, you know, if they lose another guy or don't get guys back, they could lose a chance at the playoffs. So the fact that it's there and you can go past eight and still have a chance to get into the postseason, I would think that Hornets players would actually appreciate that more than that.
Yeah, I would think we're not – like, listen, I still think we can get that eight spot. We got seven games left. We got a two-game lead on Indiana, 2.5 on Washington. I still think we can hold on. But
we do play Washington. We do play Washington, though.
Yeah, so. Last game of the year. With all the injuries, though, Bone, that safety net, as a Hornets fan, selfishly, first of all, for the good of the game, I like to play in. But then selfishly, I kind of like having that safety net just in case. I wanted to talk about Gordon Hayward, Bone, because you see it too. You see the text line. When we talk about him, vitriol is generated. And I think it's too much. I don't think he deserves it. He's actually had one of the best years of his career. Now, the thing with him this year, and I know it's happened in the past too, the thing with him this year is he hasn't stayed healthy. Had a broken bone in his hand, has the sprained foot right now where we're waiting on him to come back. It's been 4 weeks plus. I'm asking everybody out there that is a part of Bug Nation, everybody that's a Hornets fan, how do you feel about Gordon Hayward? And Bone, do you think I don't think he deserves the snide remarks and some of the comments that we see from Hornets fans. I don't understand. They treat him like he's Batum or something. Like,
well,
Nick
that
Batum
might be part of
every
it.
Bit of it.
That might be part of it. I think there's three reasons. Fans have post-traumatic Batum disorder, so that's a factor there. So they just look at the highest-paid guy as being a bust automatically. That's the second reason, is that he is the highest-paid guy in the team. So naturally, when a guy makes that amount of money, and if fans question that contract when he signed it, well, the pressure is going to be on for him to stay healthy and to perform up to that money. So fans look at the amount of money that he's making. They look at him not playing. It frustrates them. Then when guys replace him, like Miles Bridges, who makes a star turn in the lineup, and people say, well, we're not paying Miles as much, and he's as productive as Gordon Hayward has been when he was in there for the most part, here and there. The third reason is he makes that amount of money, and he's not a flashy player. He's a good basketball player. He does the little things. He makes those mid-range shots. He moves the ball. He's a facilitator. He's a guy that keeps things together. But he's not Bridges. He's not LaMelo. He's not as exciting maybe for fans to watch as guys on the team. So they see the amount of money, and he's not a highlight reel. I'm not knocking his game. It's just his game the way it is. I don't think fans necessarily appreciate the way he plays the game in comparison to the highlight reels that are his teammates.
So you're saying it's the fans that aren't smart enough to look past the highlights. Is that what you're saying?
Like, I don't think he's got. I don't think his game. Like. I don't think his game is sexy for everybody all the time.
All right. So I don't give a damn about sexy. Give me.
You asked me. You asked me my opinion. I'm telling you what I think the fans think. Yeah.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to anybody that is swayed by the highlights, and the lack of Gordon Hayward highlights makes them think he ain't a good player. Let me tell you what we got in Gordon Hayward while he's been healthy. And I hate the fact he's been injured too. But I don't know if y'all have noticed, he hadn't been the only one injured on this team. He gets treated like crap by some of y'all, and it's BS. Gordon Hayward is averaging the third highest points per game of his career this season, 19.6. Gordon Hayward has the second best three-point percentage of his career, 42. Gordon Hayward is averaging the most rebounds of his career, 6. Gordon Hayward is averaging the second most assists per game of his career. Gordon Hayward is shooting the third best field goal percentage of his career. Gordon Hayward's a good basketball player, right, before he got here? Right, pretty good player in Utah? How about those numbers compared to his Utah days? This is one of the best seasons of his career. And for people to act like he is a negative on this team, I mean, I just think it's complete BS. And I just think people are searching for a Batum. I think fans just like being negative so much that they're searching for the Batum. There's a void in their life not being able to rip French pastry. And I think they look at Gordon Hayward's money and they just think, oh, it's just like people that thought he was overpaid initially. And I thought he was. But I sit here today, Bone. I'm sorry, man. Did we overpay a little bit for him? Did we go a little long in 4 years? Yeah. But I can't sit here and say that the Gordon Hayward deal looks bad. And I think there's some people that aren't willing, like me, to admit, you know, I was wrong about the Gordon Hayward deal. I criticized it, but you know what? He's had a good season other than the injuries. I think it's stubborn.
Here's another factor that's in Gordon Hayward's favor to what you're saying. This team maintained kind of who they were record-wise when Gordon was in there. It was without LaMelo, they still kind of had the same record. They just won in different ways. They became more of a defensive team. Yes, the offense struggled. It was when Gordon went down, Matt, where the team really fell apart all over the place, right, where they really started to lose games. It was when Gordon, the stability factor that is Gordon Hayward, went out, is sort of when the team started to fall off a little bit here.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to point out too. You guys don't miss him after watching the team without him. He's a guy that can get a bucket in the half court on his own. He's second in the team in most drives. I don't think people realize that, how much he takes into the basket. He's a guy that in the half court you can go to and get you a bucket. We don't have many of those guys. We got more guys that like getting out and running. You know, we're not a great half-court offense without him and without LaMelo, especially that combination.
There's a reason this team was having a near historical assist record when he was in there in terms of assists per game. They were up there with the 17 Warriors. It's like some of the greatest assist teams ever for team assists. It's because of the way Hayward fits into the LaMelo. It's the way Hayward fits into the Borrego offense. He moves the ball. He may not get the assist all the time for himself, but he makes the extra pass. That ball moves so much better when Hayward's involved in stuff.
And he's still third on the team in assists, by the way, more than Terry Rozier. You know, let me read some of these texts. It didn't take long, Bone, for me to explain what we wanted to talk about and for people to just start bashing Hayward. This text,
I think it's
says,
a lot of money. I think a lot of it's money as well.
This guy says Hayward's a bleeping sissy. This texter says, stop lying to the fans. He was struggling before he got hurt. Yeah, he had a month where he averaged 16 points a game. Aren't there ebbs and flows in every NBA season? I got to be honest, Bone, I blame you in part two. You wrote Gordon Hayward during that month where he averaged 16 points a game. And you acted like something's wrong with him, like Gordon Hayward's part of the problem. And I just think it's just the ebbs and flows of an NBA season. Like, he was not going to average 22.
Go ahead, you just speak 22. For me, go ahead.
No, I'm speaking my opinion.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll be here. You're going to call me out. I'll listen for it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you listen to me call you out. Then
go ahead.
You respond.
Call me out. Call me out, tough guy.
I am calling you out. I don't have to be tough to do it. I'm calling you out. Bone, you put in people's heads that was something terrible.
It's my fault. Yeah.
You turned this into
a fight between us. Yeah, it's my fault.
If
you want me to explain what my point was, he was at almost, 25, 26 points a game for the month of January. I questioned why was he down 11 points per game about a month later to 15 points per game.
Because that's the way it works.
And here's the deal. Because that 26 points per game he's at in January, that's not really the full Gordon.
Yes.
The full Gordon
and he's
is
not
more,
the 15 point per game either.
Well, what is he then?
He's a 20 point a game player.
And he's about a 17 or 18 point per game guy.
For us right now, this season, he's a
20
point
per game
player.
Don't blame me for the fans' opinions. They have their own opinions. I have my opinion.
I
questioned
problem.
If something was wrong with the guy, and why did I do that? Why did I do that? Answer me. Why did I do that? Because a lot of times, there is something wrong with Gordon Hayward. He does get injured a lot.
So I thought
along the way something was bothering him, and then he got hurt right after that. I like Gordon Hayward. I'm supporting him in this discussion. You turned it against me.
It didn't sound
it's
like
a bad guy move
month.
By you. I was just
during
supporting Gordon.
It's not a bad
you
guy
asked me.
Move. I'm telling
you asked
I feel.
Me. You asked me why the fans are on Gordon Hayward. I gave you the reasons why I think the fans are on him. Then I supported Gordon Hayward, but you turned it into a fight between us for no reason whatsoever because you're a jerk.
There is a reason. You yourself just said he's not a 25-point-a-game guy. Bone, he's also not a 15-point-a-game guy. But that's the way the NBA works. It's a long season. And over the course of the season, the numbers will represent who you are. For this team, he's a 20-point-a-game player with 6 boards, 4 assists a game, and he shoots 42% from 3. Everything averages out. Guys ebb and flow. Terry has had some rough shooting numbers here the last month or so himself. But I don't hear you getting on the radio and calling out Terry the way you called out
Wait,
Gordon.
Whoa. I've asked numerous questions in the pregame show to Sam Farber.
Question.
I've asked a lot of people. I've brought it up a lot. I've asked a lot of people, what's up with Terry Rozier? I have done that. Don't lie about that. I've asked about Rozier. I brought up his struggles. But Rozier's played so far above his head this year, I wasn't going to get mad about that. The thing about Gordon Hayward is this. The question is this all the time about Gordon Hayward. When he plays, he does fine. But he's always injured all the time. That's been my question.
But well, here's my question, though, because a lot of people are saying that, too. He's injury prone, Mac, calling him pansy and all this stuff. He broke a hand. Does he just have soft bones? He sprained a foot when he stepped on someone else's foot. We have umpteen ankle sprains here. I don't know, man. I don't think Gordon Hayward's injuries this year are because he's made a peanut brittle. I just don't.
He missed a month in the bubble last year.
He broke a hand before that.
He's had injuries all through Boston that are not just related. I know the vicious one. I'm putting that to the side. He's had other stuff like this all along the way here.
But is a broken hand?
Don't make me a Gordon Hayward hater. I like Gordon Hayward. I think they missed him along the way.
You're
no doubt about
yourself
it.
Whatever you are.
No, you turn this into you try to turn me into the bad guys. What you tried to do is what you did.
No, bad. You were part of this, man. What are his bones made of? Paper mache? Like what? What are you two broken hands in 2 years, and you think it's his fault?
He also had the sprained ankle in the bubble where he missed the month. There's all a bunch of these along. And again, you're painting me the bad guy here. When along the way here in this argument, I was supporting Gordon Hayward, but you just can't help yourself, can you? You just can't help yourself.
No, I can't.
You know what? I'm turning my Zoom video off. You don't deserve me right now. You don't deserve me. See, I'm gone now. Look, I'm middle fingering right now. Can't see me, huh?
Oh my goodness.
When we come back, it's the wrap up. Mac Attack Sports Radio FNZ.
Hey, JB, I know they said or they showed on the broadcast last night a little bit of light work being done by Gordon. Do you have a timetable as far as his return, or do you see how he can ramp up?
Well, I don't have an update. I wish I did. I wish I could be more specific. I think we gave an update, and that's kind of where we're at. I wish I had more for you. I really do.
Well, I wish I had an update. That is WFNC's own Willie P, an all-around good guy. Somebody texted us earlier about that exchange between Borrego and Willie P. I guess they had heard it previously. And
it was Willie P that texted in.
It was somebody else that said Willie P was being a typical shark-smelling blood-in-the-water journalistic jerk. Willie P's trying to get an answer on behalf of the fans. Y'all get off his back. But that's funny, though. Anytime anybody from FNZ gets a little Heisman from a coach, it's going to be kind of amusing to the rest of us here at the station.
I hope Willie
P was
him,
doing his job.
I hope Willie P asks him again.
Every day you ought to do it. Every presser. The pregame presser tonight, the postgame presser. God, what would his reaction be if Willie P went right back to it tonight?
I hope he does it even when Gordon's back. Hey, how's Gordon doing? You okay?
Oh, man. Borrego's getting tired of the injuries, the question. You know, he's where Ron is. Remember when Ron gave us after that, was it the Tampa game on Thursday night in Cam's last season here? The foot is not as such.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's where, oh, yeah, the other one, too. Borrego is very close if Willie P asks again to doing the Ron Rivera. Was that a good impression or no? That didn't really sound
I encourage
like it.
Willie P to keep asking more questions.
Willie, you're doing your job, baby. You're doing your job. And sometimes journalists and coaches and sports figures, even though they're friendly to each other, sometimes they just clash because they're both trying to do their job. Man, I hope Hayward can get back soon. But apparently the texters say he doesn't want to play because he doesn't love the game. I got that text earlier as well, Bo.
Seems a little strong there. I'm sure Mac will blame that text on me probably. Because all the texts are now my responsibility. So that's great.
All right. We're going to get to the emails, the texts, and tweets. People have a common reaction to Bone and I arguing a couple minutes ago. I also want to thank Ashley Shamedy, Tom Glavin, and Ron Green Jr. for joining us on the show today. We appreciate them. I also wanted to mention, Bo, did you hear what Jimbo Fisher said about Nick Saban yesterday?
Did not.
Jimbo Fisher was talking about one of the fan club meetings down there in Texas for the Aggies, whatever the club's called down there. And a fan was asking a question and said, When are we going to be able to beat Alabama? And do you think your buddy, because, of course, he worked under Saban,
yeah.
you think your buddy Nick Saban will retire soon so we can have a chance to beat him? And Jimbo Fisher didn't like that and said, we're going to beat his ass while he's on the sidelines. You just watch. So now there are headlines all over the country of him saying he's going to beat Nick Saban's ass. Oh, my God. Take Alabama and give the points to A&M this season.
What's the record of Nick Saban when he has material to work with? Has he ever Ooh. Lost when his team gets called out this far in advance? What's his record?
Oh, my God. If not perfect, real close to it, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Holy crap. What's your
And this
doing,
isn't
Jimbo?
This isn't like the day before. Now he has this, Mac, to use the entire offseason. He has this to use, not just the week of the game for Texas A&M. Saban has this to use for months and months and months and months.
Absolutely.
What a mistake by, as Mark from Gastonia calls him, Dumbo Fisher.
That was a Dumbo Fisher moment, I got to be honest. I've got to also toss to this bone, too, because in the wrap-up segment, we like to give you some levity, especially after a knockdown Mac and Bone drag-out. We got to lighten
can
it
I,
up.
Can I tell you that I felt three things in that fight I've never felt before? I had a heart palpitation. I was so worked up, I had a heart palpitation.
I'm not trying to kill you.
I got dizzy, and I saw red. I've never actually seen red. Like, you were the rodeo clown, and I was the bull. My heart's beating out of my chest. I'm getting dizzy, and I'm literally seeing red dots.
I didn't mean to do all that to you. I was just standing up.
I didn't mean to make you that mad there. I didn't mean – yeah, right. What a
Here,
jerk.
Bone. Sit back and enjoy this one, Bone, all right? This is this was something that was being passed all over the internet, Boney, yesterday. A couple of comedians came up with this. And it is a press conference that a dad is having after a rough day on the job as a dad at home. This hits home on so many levels to me as a dad. Listen to this one.
You sum up the day.
Yeah, honestly, just felt like we got behind early. After the milk spill and the marker on the wall, we just felt like we were playing catch up the rest of the day.
Right before you went to the store, you called a timeout. Was there an attitude change after that?
Yeah, it felt like we were losing our heads there for a minute, so we wanted to just calm things down. And get back to the basics.
Did you ever find your keys?
No. No idea where they are.
You gave them a snack half hour before dinner. Was that planned?
No. Lost track of time. Wasn't thinking. And so, you know, 3 bites at dinner. That's on me.
It didn't look like you had many answers to the double teams.
Is it a question?
That is, by the way, that's Kyle Berger, one half of the Dumb Dads podcast. There are a couple of comedians do a Dumb Dads podcast, and there is stuff in there for every dad that they can relate to. 3 bites at dinner, even at my kid's age right now, is on me every day. Daddy, can I get a snack? Well, it's 4:15. Go ahead. What the hell? I'm the worst at that, man. The worst.
I thought that was Willie P. and Borrego.
All right, so anyway, that was well played. Very good stuff there, Dumb Dads podcast. Fellas, all right, let's get to the wrap-up, Bone. What's coming up in sports today? Obviously, we mentioned it. Hornets Bulls tonight. We do get PJ back, and congrats to PJ on becoming a father with his baby born the other day. Took a day off, but he's back. But Graham's doubtful. Cody, Gordon, and... who else am I thinking of? Bridges, obviously, are all out tonight against the Bulls. Quail Hollow, round one going on, man. It's great to have this tournament back in Charlotte. And KB and Nick Wilson and Stan will be live from Quail Hollow the rest of the day for you. We've got that tournament going on as well. Right now we have Peter Malnati, Kyung-Hoon Lee, why are you laughing at me? Chez Reavy, Sung-Gi In, JJ, and that's it. Those are the leaders right now, Boney.
Can you run through those one more time for us?
Yeah, can you run those back? I missed the first five.
That's all I've got.
You even struggle with Peter there for a second.
I don't know. I don't know these names. I don't know many of these guys that are at the lead.
Who is the second? Who is the second guy?
Kyung-Hoon Lee. There you go. Chez Reavy, I've heard of him. He's at 300. But JT is lingering just a shot back. My man, big hit, and Bryson DeChambeau tees off right before 1 o'clock today on hole one. So if you're
I'm going
there,
with
man,
the guy Ron Green Jr. told us. Under the radar, was it Jose Oquendo? Was that the guy?
Joaquin Niemann.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
right.
That's right, Mac. You got it.
That's who it was. Close enough, Bone. You were on the ballpark. You were the utility man for the 80s in the National League. All right. Also coming up today, the Braves' 4 o'clock game against the Nationals, trying to sweep the Nats, who were in first place when this started. Now the Phillies a game up in first over the Braves. All right, Bone, let's get to the emails, the text, and the tweets, and let's see what everybody has to say here on this show. A similar reaction to you and I fighting about Gordon Hayward. Married couple, marriage counseling, get a divorce already. Some guy says, you won't admit it, but you two can't live without each other. Those were some of the similar comments, Bone, about our argument that we had.
Some guy called that a fake fight. That was not a fake argument there. I was legit mad. Flounder, was that a fake fight there, or could you tell I was really mad on that?
No, that was legitimate. That was.
I made Bone mad. I could tell.
I've never seen red before. That was interesting. That's a different one for me. Maybe I'm part man, part bull.
Bone, you looked like one of my Rangers players out there on the ice. You were ready to just drop the gloves and start throwing
hands. Mac is Tom Wilson.
Whoa.
Am I the instigator that needs to be suspended? This texter says, Mac, there are no soft bones. Unlike Gordon Hayward, there are no soft bones on this show.
Tough bones.
Hey now.
Tough, non-brittle bones.
Johnny says, he brings up the Rangers fight yesterday. If y'all missed it, there were three separate fights right off the drop of the puck yesterday because the Rangers wanted to address the Tom Wilson dirtiness from the other day's Capitals-Rangers game. And this texter says, after what Mac just did to Bone there, if those two were in the studio tomorrow, I guarantee a Bone would hit him the second Mac says, hello, Charlotte.
No, I wouldn't do that because I have to read the temperatures off, so I'd take a few minutes there. But I wouldn't hit Mac when he expects it. It's when you least expect it. You take him out of the knee.
Sucker
punches. You go for a knee at the vending machine.
I've got a texter that says, we're going through what Text Nation says. It's the wrap-up segment on the Mac Attack. We love to end it with reading what the texter said throughout the show. Got someone here that says, I can totally see why y'all aren't allowed out of Quail Hollow like the other shows. Your setup is right next to the chipping green. Zoki tweeted out a picture. Mac would be kicked out in 10 seconds. It's true. Guys go there to practice their chipping right before the round. And I'm on there screaming to Bone about Gordon Hayward. Like, I don't think it would. In fairness, I don't think it would work. I think it's the right call by our boss.
Mac would have his roster out there reading off the golfers' names. Who is the second guy, third guy, Chavez Ravine?
Oh, yeah, I'd be messing their names up. Guy be over there on the chipping green like, hey, what you doing? Dougie Doug, speaking of fights, Bone's nemesis lately has been this guy Sizzle that we gave a little tryout on the radio and he bombed.
I won't even mention his name. That's a pathetic human being.
Dougie Doug said he wants to fight Sizzle on your behalf, Bone. So you got that going.
It's one thing if you're doing stuff all in good fun. You came after my mother. You've called Mac and I the P word on Twitter repeatedly. Now, Mac may be called that a lot more than I am normally, but you don't say
what?
It. If you want opportunities or you want to be a character within the radio show, whatever you're trying to do, this isn't the way in. Bullying people to get airtime is not the way to go about it. That might be how Matt got in the radio, but that's not how Sizzle's getting in the radio. And I will never, after this moment, ever mention that jerk's name ever again.
Don't give him a shine.
He's banned for life.
Bone, this text.
But you love it, though. You love this stuff, though. You love me getting mocked. My mom got mocked on the text line.
That's not right. Sizzle's kind of a pain. That's why I muted him, Bone, a few weeks back.
Well, he's blocked everywhere now.
This texter says, Mac's going to have trouble not just on the air with Bone, but off the air. He referred to his wife as a restrictor plate earlier on the show.
That did happen.
And I don't know if she caught that. Another texter says, Mac was looking for the appropriate name of East Carolina, App State, and Charlotte on September 4th. It's weed versus STDs.
Oh, no. By the way, there's there's a professional mediator on the line that wants to help us out with our conflict resolution.
Oh, we got to try to get this guy for tomorrow, don't we?
Or woman. Yeah.
Whoever it is, we got to try to get this person on the air.
Gee, I wonder where the blame's going to fall. I wonder where the blame's going to go on this one.
Flounder, get that number. We got to try to work this out for tomorrow. All right, we're going to get out of here. Kyle Bailey is coming up next. He's not going to scream at anybody like Bone and I did each other. He'll be very respectful out there on the golf course, unlike what we would be. Bone, great work out of you, though, despite the dispute. Flounder, great work. You're kicking butt in the studio. Thanks to everybody for listening and hanging out with us through the ups and downs. Emotional ups and downs of the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy Quail Hollow if you're headed out there.
Hey, little puppy.
We got bongs, meat, beers.
Na, 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 na. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye, Mackie.
It really does sound like a naughty no-no word.
Mac and Bone, they're stone-cold killer professionals.